On a remote mountaintop in the Chilean desert, construction is about to begin on the biggest telescope on Earth. It'll start with the removal of the mountain peak to make room for the extremely large telescope, as it's called, a massive piece of complex machinery that will allow astronomers to directly view other planets for the first time. It means that we are perhaps another step closer to observing life outside of our own solar system. But why does the telescope have to be so large? Ashley Byrne has been talking to one of the physicists who instigated the plan nearly 25 years ago.
This is the story of an epic adventure. A story of cosmic curiosity, courage, and perseverance. The story of how Europe went south to explore the stars.
A promotional video for the European Southern Observatory, an organisation encompassing 15 member states with an illustrious history spanning 50 years. ESO, pronounced ESO, has a number of state-of-the-art telescopes based in Chile, but now it is about to embark on its biggest adventure yet, the EELT.
What is the EELT? It's the European Extremely Large Telescope, and all those words matter.
Jerry Gilmore is Professor of Experimental Philosophy at the University of Cambridge and has been involved with the project since its inception.
It's European, it's extremely large, it's about 40 metres across the mirror, and this is several times bigger than anything that's ever been built before. It's getting on for the size of a tennis court. And it's a telescope. It's a real telescope. It's designed to take really high-quality images of the night sky.
This monster telescope will be sited close to ESO's existing facilities on the edge of the high Andes, a mecca for astronomers.
This particular hill is called Cerro Amazonas and is in the central, northern, dry coastal mountains of Chile. It's very clear. It's fairly high, not hugely high, but it's fairly high, and it's very, very dry. And this is the critical feature with a telescope. The things that mess up telescopes are water and air, you know, the things that we need to live. But they're a real nuisance if you're trying to look out at the sky. And so you want to get as high as you can to get above as much air as you can and as dry as you can to get away from as much moisture as you can, because moisture just blurs everything out.
Because of the sheer size of the proposed telescope, they're going to have to do some rather impressive landscaping to get it on top of the mountain.
What do you have to do to a mountain to put a telescope on it? These telescopes are big. And then you need access for the instrumentation, and you need the construction trucks, and all these big pieces of machinery are bringing up precision instrumentation that can't be just twisted around a corner and bumped over lumps and so on. So the practical way to proceed is actually just to cut the top off the mountain. And that's the way we do it for all of these telescopes down in South America. So they've all turned into table mountains, the observatories. And you do that by blowing about a million tons of rock off the top in a rather nicely... Well, it's a precision experiment to blow the rock off properly, but they don't... Unfortunately, they don't let me close when they're doing it, but the videos are really cool and it makes a spectacular rumble.
It's a lot of effort to go to build an observatory, but the plan is to use the EELT to answer one of life's biggest questions. Are we alone?
One of the things we will do is find solar systems around nearby stars. There are already several thousand planets known around other stars, so we know that planets are very common. Pretty soon we're going to discover a planetary system that's near to us, around a star that's relatively, by astronomy standards, near to us, and is lined up so that we can see something that's about as far from its parent sun as our Earth is from our sun. And we'll see it going around. And that's one of the main ambitions for this extremely large telescope. It's got enough magnification, really, so that it can see things that are quite close together. Because that, as far as we're concerned, that planet appears quite close to its star. But once we can get the technology working, and it's getting close, and build the telescope, we'll be able to watch this planet go around that star, and we'll be able to say, does it go green in summer? Does it go white in winter? And we'll be able to see it changing, and we'll be able to measure its atmosphere and say, do I see chlorophyll? Do I see ammonia? So we won't be able to see people waving at us or cities or anything like that, but we'll sure enough be able to say whether there's grass growing on those things.
But the EELT also has uses beyond alien hunting. Dr. Joe Lisk at ESO's headquarters in Germany is engaged in the nuts and bolts of building the world's largest telescope.
There's a lot of different things that we want to be able to do with the telescope.
With a price tag of 1.08 billion euros, it's no wonder the astronomers want to get value for money. But Dr. Lisk has a pertinent comparison for those who think it's an extravagance for those indebted European countries.
Out my window, I can see the Allianz Arena, which is the home of Bayern Munich, the football club Bayern Munich. And their annual turnover is considerably larger than ours.
Construction on the site begins this month, but it's expected that the extremely large telescope won't be in operation for another 10 years. Likely too late for Professor Gilmore to try it out.
It's an interesting feature of being involved in projects on this timescale. These big projects take 30, 40 years from having the idea originally, going through to technology development, building the political support, building the science support, getting the money, getting the engineering, through to getting it working. So unless you're lucky enough to be in one of these projects when you're relatively young, then you're retired before they're in full operation. So I think the way to think of these is not, well, the way I think of it. I'm not doing this for me. It's like planting an oak forest. You're doing it for your grandchildren.
In this case, then, science is a slow process. But hopefully in a decade, we'll have our first glimpse of a living world beyond our own. This is Ashley Byrne for DW in Cambridge, England.
And in case you're wondering, they plan to blast the top off that mountain on the 19th of June. So I think you'll understand when I say stand back, please.